Good afternoon, Muskegon. May 22nd. Wow, can you believe it? That May is almost done already. Welcome to Community Focus. I'm one of your hosts, Gregory T. Roberts, and
I'm Melvin C. Burns II.
Welcome to the show that brings you information, news, and more about the community and worldwide. And let's start with the weather. What's going on?
All right. Well, today we got a low of 46, high of 71, although expected to be a little cloudy. Tomorrow, expect those clouds to remain, low 54, high 64. On Sunday, there's a 50% chance of rain, low 52, high of 68. On Monday, Memorial Day, the sun will come out, low 53, high of 75. Sunny again on Tuesday, low 57, high of 77. Wednesday, low of 58, high of 80. And on Thursday, low of 55, high of 76. It's starting to feel like summer.
Thank you. Let me address something real quick. Somebody asked me, why aren't you guys screaming about all the politics and all that kind of stuff? And don't you have enough people screaming at you? How about we bring out some information that is informative to help you in what's going on? Yeah, I'm tired of the screaming and all that kind of stuff.
I'm burned out. You know, just there's enough, and we may do some in the future, but man, there's some other stuff.
Yeah, the book of Ecclesiastes, there's a time.
Yes.
And there's times when we will bring out the confrontational in things, but you know, it's time to bring out more positive stuff. Yeah.
Yes, I completely agree.
All right. Definitely. So what's your top five this week?
Well, top five. Well, you know, Monday is Memorial Day.
Yes.
And we know we had a guest on the last week talking about the history of Memorial Day. So I was just thinking this morning, let's go back. American Civil War. How about five heroes and martyrs from the African-American heroes and martyrs from the American Revolutionary War?
Okay.
One we learned about in school. Some say the first to die in the American Revolution, Crispus Attucks. Man named Salem Poor. Interesting name, right? Fought in the Battle of Bunker Hill. He actually had bought his own freedom in 1740. They said he was quoted as being a brave and gallant soldier, and some said he behaved like a brilliant, experienced officer. He's also credited with killing the British Lieutenant Colonel James Abercrombie. Colonel Ty was a loyalist guerrilla. Actually, we talk about American Civil War. He actually fought for the British.
Really?
But hey, you know, the whole why did they fight for the British? Because they promised them freedom after the war. And so, you know, when it comes to freedom, that's probably easier to pick at a side. there's Peter Salem, who was a colonel and hero. He fought in the Battle of Bunker Hill, which even though America lost that battle, it sort of set the stage for the war turning tides. It was said that he was a key officer in that battle. And there was another British general that they killed during that war. But kind of that Bunker Hill battle, most people think we won, but we actually lost that. Then finally, to a group, the 1st Rhode Island Regiment was the first integrated revolutionary force in the Civil War. Again, most of these soldiers, they promised them freedom if they fought for the United States, for became the United States during the Revolution. Soldiers were known for their bravery and their fighting skills. It was said that their colonel, William Christopher Greene, was battled during fighting, and it said that every man guarded his life and gave their lives to protect their colonel.
Wow.
And so we know American Revolution, Civil War, World War I, World War II, a few others in there. But let's, you know, as we think about Memorial Day and those fallen soldiers, let's not forget those that fought for freedom that was barely theirs.
Thank you. I haven't made this announcement in quite a while. If you have questions, if you're listening and would like to ask questions, you can catch us on 103.7 The Beat Facebook site, M106. We have a YouTube channel, and we're on the Emoji app as well. And if you would like to catch it maybe later, you can catch it on those media sites. Who do we have as a guest today?
Well, first-time guest on our program, Dr. Mark Paletti. Hope I said that correctly.
Oh, yeah.
He's practiced for over 40 years as a chiropractor in Ohio, Colorado, and Michigan. Among his interests that we're going to talk about today is bicycling. Dr. Pelletti, welcome to the program.
Hey, my pleasure. And I wanted to add our brother Bob Marley sang Buffalo Soldiers. We got to get them in there.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. That was like post-Civil War,
post-Civil
right?
War.
They went, fought the Indians.
Yeah. Right. Now I love them. In fact, I wear a hat, but I got some mixed feelings about them now because they fought the Native Americans.
I know, brother. Yeah. I know.
But brave soldiers.
Brave soldiers.
Yes.
And the Indians were fierce. That's a good day to die, you know.
Yes.
Geronimo or Crazy Horse.
Crazy Horse.
Crazy Horse.
Yes.
And you rode naked in front of the forts, you know.
It's a good day to die. Yeah.
But anyway, our group is Biking with Purpose. So we bike. And I like to bike, but I got to have an excuse to justify. I'm a worker. I'm from a blue-collar town near Flint and Saginaw.
Okay.
And Muskegon is the most integrated city on the coast over here.
Yes.
So I'm proud. You know, I always tell my brothers and sisters from Saginaw and Flint, this is the place to come. But anyway, I need an excuse to ride. One of the things I do is a group of us deliver sandwiches. We make 25 to 30 loaves of peanut butter and jelly sandwiches every Tuesday night at Unruly. And then we deliver them, a lot of them, by bicycle.
Oh.
And we go to the homeless camps and we go to the shelter and we deliver that and coffee and hot cocoa. Sometimes we have chili. Sometimes we have some good bean soup. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we have sleeping bags. Sometimes we have clothing and we have all that. So that's why. And so I can get my workout, and every week we do it. And we've been doing it a couple of years now, about two and a half years.
Yeah. Let's tell people the event, and then I want to talk a little bit about biking, then we'll make sure we close out with talking about the event. You have a fundraiser coming up.
Yeah, tomorrow.
Okay.
We're making blueberry and any kind of pancake you want. I make raspberry Belgian chocolate with whipped cream. The girls like that.
Okay.
But we got blueberries, a thing that, you know, and we're doing it at my place, 3244 Thompson, from 9 to 11.
Okay.
And we'll have coffee. It's a good time.
Is there a cost for this? Are you taking donations or?
Whatever you want, you know. We feed everyone and anyone, you know. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, if you want to donate a few bucks, that's great. Mm-hmm. That's how we raise money. We're putting a water fountain in today. It almost got done.
Okay.
We raised about $4,000 to put a fountain in at 7th and Laketon. It's going to be right between the shelter and the CRC, right on 7th, right on the bike trail.
Okay, mm-hmm. Yes.
So it'd be good for all the bikers that come into town. Uh-huh. Muskegon's known for its bike riding trails.
Right.
We can go all the way up to Har. We can go to, I go to Grand Rapids. I ride my bike to Grand Rapids and get the bus to East Lansing or to Lansing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Awesome. Dr. Mark, you've been doing this. You have such a giving heart. You're my neighbor. Your pancakes are known. What drives you to be just such a giver?
You know, you see my picture of the Bernie guy. He said, what could we do? You know, he didn't get into the election, but he said to go to the community and to act on an individual level. And I thought, well, what can I do? And a lot of us lost hope with these different elections that have come on. And like you said, everybody's got this drama going every day. The adrenal glands get exhausted because we're always hearing the news feed that just puts everyone in exhaustion mode. So we feel that our Biking with Purpose group is a way for people. We got a lot of people coming every Tuesday night making sandwiches at Unruly.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way for them to feel like they're tangibly giving back, you know. And then we have people repairing bikes. We have people making laundry kits. We have people making hygiene kits. We have people making the posters and promoting it. So we have a huge community of people helping, and it's a way for them to vent and to feel like they're doing something, because a lot of people feel hopeless right now.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
And it's only getting worse, right?
Right. Yes. Dr. Mark, talk to people about, because some people don't think that there are a lot of people, but the need is enormous about people that need to be fed. We feed a group on Wednesdays.
Yes.
The need is enormous. Talk about
it is enormous. And I'll tell you, everybody has got a big heart. Mm-hmm. In everywhere. Everyone wants to help, but they don't want to feel like they're being taken.
Yes.
And so they want to feel like they can help, and they bring us sleep bags, tents, food, socks, underwear, laundry, everything they bring us. The thing that we're missing is housing. And so one of the things we did this year is we built little houses. There were some businesses that went out. There's a lot of 2x4s. So in the middle of the winter, we were building houses. And there's a church that let people stay there over the Shoreline Church of Christ. They had a lot of people living there, and I helped build a lot of these sheds. And then we provided the heater buddies and propane every 3 days. It was a brutal winter. So it is a huge problem. Everybody wants to help, but the housing is the thing that we have too much emphasis on coddling, I think, the moneyed class, the developers in both cities probably. But I know in Muskegon, it's been a big issue for me. And I know they say they're getting affordable housing, but affordable is real relative, right?
You
know, and so that's the biggest issue, you know, and it's, and I'm going to tell you a thing that's really bad. I'm a, what you call boomer, and the biggest growing age group of people going homeless are the boomers. And they say, and 3 years, it's going to double its size, the homeless, because they accounted for the money as it used to be, but the prices of everything has just skyrocketed.
Didn't keep up. You know, you, I'm a walker, I don't, so I see you bicyclers out. But I always tell people, if you go walking, you see Muskegon in a different way than you drive around in the car. Talk about your experience just when you ride around a bicycle, the things you see that you would miss being in a car.
Well, that's why I ride on the bike, exactly for that reason. I'm going to tell you another thing. Muskegon Heights is by far the best walking city between Muskegon and Muskegon Heights, best riding and walking, because people are out walking. People are out biking. That's what they use for transportation. So they talk about walkable cities as being a desirable thing. You guys walk. You guys are riding, and that you see everything. You know, if I was in a car, I'd miss that guy over there on, in the field. Laying there, I'd miss that. I can just give somebody a sandwich, and I can give them a drink of coffee or some cocoa immediately.
You may have seen this also, you know, and development's good, you know, in communities, this new dollars coming in, but some of the areas that we've developed, I know from walking with some of the bike trails where we're a lot of, where a lot of homeless people are kind of living in little spots. Have you experienced that? And you may know some of the places they even congregate now. I'm sort of learning this. Had some people in our church who had a family member was homeless, so I kind of learned where some of the encampments were around.
It's an eye opener. I mean, the first time I started doing this, I got to hear. I'm at the shelter, and I get to hear all the stories, and you realize you can't just give money to like the rescue mission and think your conscience is clean as a citizen, because there's so many gaps. So many people get extricated from there. And I'll tell you, this winter was so brutal. If you got thrown out of the shelter, you might die, or you might not have so many fingers and toes. And I have guys that have lost their toes on all their, you know, and their fingers, and some have died. And this year, I'm proud our group, the people we've been dealing with, given the heaters, nobody died, nobody lost any digits. But it's expensive. We had a lot of donors that give us the money to buy the propane tanks. It was about $190 for each person to get them in a, and then you had to continually buy them propane. But I know we went off subject a little bit, but what were you?
Just talking about the vision of what you're able to see riding
see
a bicycle versus in a car.
You see everything. You see the needles, you see, you see, you know, you see despair, but you see people, kind people out there trying to help. And we have like 7 food pantries, maybe more. And we've been trying to load them up with the sandwiches. And the thing that we notice also, a lot of people helping and a lot of people taking too. And so the pantries are always empty. We call them little free pantries. And one of the first was 7th and Monroe. And during COVID, we used to make sandwiches there all winter long. Every weekend I'd be there. And people, we wanted to reach people that weren't going to be touched because everyone was afraid. And then it went, we found out people couldn't get showers, so they couldn't get a job. can't pay for a shower. Sure. So we started an initiative trying to get laundry kits to them. And then it just progressed into getting more. So there's seven of these we deliver to, and we find that they're usually empty, and either through need or greed, they're empty. Okay. Sometimes there's a lot of hoarding, because when you don't have, when you have a lot of fear, you gravitate towards trying to be a squirrel and grab everything.
Wow. The board is like lit up, but we're just going to address one. It says Mark is amazing. Says they are out biking with a purpose all year long. She said, oh, and then my board moved. And they said they are a staple in the unhousing community.
I'll tell you, our group. And, you know, my partner, Cindy Nichols, and I started this, and I've had a lot of help. We have a lot of really core people every week are behind this, because we wouldn't. And I'll tell you the other thing about these peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. They don't get hoarded. You know, some family might take a whole loaf for their kids, but they'll hoard everything else. You get canned food or boxed food. They don't hoard peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. Okay. So it's like the perfect medicine for this, you know, our strategy to feed people.
Okay. Yeah. That's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. How did you get into the bicycling first? How did you get into bicycling?
Oh, man. I have three bikes stolen in my life. I grew up in a little town of Montrose, Flint, Saginaw, you know, who didn't want to have a bike? We had stingrays when we were kids. We had and banana seats. And then I brought a bike to Europe after I graduated from chiropractic college. I had it stolen at Canterbury. So I have my own Canterbury tail. Thank you very much, Mr. Chaucer. So it's a way to exercise. I was a wrestler in college, and you kind of got to burn that energy off somehow.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's a fun way to travel, you know.
So the group is called Biking with Purpose.
Yes.
Do you so the fundraiser's coming up tomorrow?
Yeah.
23rd.
Yeah.
9 to 11.
Yeah.
3244 Thompson.
Yeah.
Folks, come by, get all kind of pancakes. We want you to make a donation. Okay, so eat with purpose as well. Don't just buy to support the group.
And we'll take care of you, whatever you want. Yeah. You know, we got the blueberry, the raspberry chocolate is emerging now, the Belgian chocolate. Oh, it's a little sweet, but the blueberry, and sometimes I make a triple berry, blackberry, blueberry, and raspberry. So that's a good one, too. Right. And real maple syrup. And I cook with ghee, clarified butter. It's the best oil that you can use to eat. It's got vitamin A, D, and E. So it's the best oil, and we use organic milk, and so it's good stuff.
Talk about a little bit. It said, you know, it takes a village.
Yeah.
And in our village, you are feeding people all the time, giving away stuff all the time. Nobody is asking you to do that. You're doing that out of your heart. Talk a little bit about that.
I mean, you know, there's a need, huh?
Yes.
I mean, what, and people are too demonized. People, I know, I always say to myself, could I emerge from being in a place where I had a legal problem or a drug problem or a financial problem? Could I emerge from being homeless? And I don't know if I could do it. Mm-hmm. So I just think anything you can do, any love you can give towards anyone to get them on the way to let, and to look them in the eye and treat them like human beings, because so many people don't see them as people, as human beings, just because they're down and out, you know? And I don't believe in that, you know, that I believe people go through challenges for a reason, but I think we can't lose our humanity even if we're struggling ourselves. And in fact, I think it's the antidote when we're struggling ourselves to go serve other people.
Yes.
Don't you think?
That's good.
Yes. I think most of us agree to that. You know, you feel better, and it makes you forget about your own story.
Yes. I completely agree with that. Yeah. So, folks, maybe they can't bicycle. What are some ways people could help out your group and support your group?
Well, we do all kinds of things, you know, and we're always looking for more, you know, like delivering propane, delivering, you know, heater buddies in the winter, you know, setting up places that they can make sandwiches. You know, that's one of the things we were thinking about, exporting it around the country, mm-hmm. you know, going out and training people. But, you know, we can always use organization. That's not my forte. Oh, okay. You know, you should see my basement. I've got two bins in the side of my house, you know, and I've got bikes lined up all around my yard. I could use a good bike mechanic. You know, okay. I'm trying to learn how to be a bike. We give away bikes. People, we were at Dumpster Day the other day. We got a bunch of Bluffton. I got a bunch of beat up throwaway bikes, but you know, sometimes it just takes fixing a tire, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes it takes more, but somebody that knows a little more than I
do. You know, it's interesting you say that, as you say, but a lot of folks, homeless folks, that's transportation, you know, and we see people trying to ride them up until the winter months almost to get around.
I ride all winter.
Do you really?
I have studded tires. Those are expensive. You know what we could do is we could start thinking about making a unified, approach to getting some of this land so we can put people on and put some tiny homes in. And the other thing that's lacking is we can't take a bus from Muskegon to Grand Rapids. Yeah. I got to ride my bike 44 miles wow. to get to the bus to go, you know, and I know I can go to Ironwood on the other side of UP because they have a special thing for rural travel in our state, mm-hmm. but nothing for urban travel.
Yeah.
Don't you think we could, that would help us a lot.
Right.
And fortifying our own public transportation here is very limited. I know in our neighborhood, we lost a couple spots.
Yes.
And that hurts. And, you know, and we don't really take, we get rid of the basketball hoops on Pier Marquette Beach, you know, we know what we're trying to do here, and I tell you, I don't like that, and then pricing people out of the beach. You know, I like that we're taking buses there and all that, but there's a lot of things we can do as a citizen.
Right? Sure. Appreciate it. Yep. So, again, the event is biking. The group is Biking with Purpose, the annual Memorial Day weekend.
Yeah, sorry. That's the only place you can see it, on Facebook.
You got a Facebook page.
Yeah.
All right. It. Good. If folks want to, if they want to reach out to you, make donations, how can they do that?
Or whatever. If they want to help out, they can. We're pretty busy, but they can. We're accessible.
Okay.
And if they want to donate a bike or they know how to fix stuff or and make sandwiches. I know everyone can. We got sort of a machine. We can make the 30 moves in about an hour now.
Okay.
And Unruh, if you want to go watch it in action.
Okay.
And when do you make the sandwiches?
We make them at 5:30 on Tuesday night at Unruly Brewing, and they've been gracious with us, letting us peanut butter their tables up, you know, and jam. Mm-hmm. We're trying to be good, but they've been really good.
How important is business, you know, to come in and align with groups to help the community?
I think it's real important. You know, it's called, it shows you got a heart. You know, I think I'd rather go to a business that really acknowledges the need of the population, you know, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's really important. And we've been able to get sort of a partnership with REI in Grand Rapids, for instance. They have a little booth set up for us. It's like a high-level camping store in Grand Rapids. Mm-hmm. They got a little box there for us to people throw their old camping gear. See, my goal is to get people independent, have camping gear that they can get a backpack mm-hmm. or a bike and ride out of town and be able to figure out a way to survive, you know.
Okay.
So getting them good gear, because a lot of stuff is throwaway stuff. And another thing we did is bought Four Season tents, which are very expensive canvas tents that you can put a smokestack in. And we've identified BLM land mm-hmm. where people can stay as long as they keep it clean.
Okay.
You know, you register for it. So.
And there's a lack of space like that in Muskegon.
Nobody wants anyone in their backyard in the abandoned houses. Yeah. Nobody wants it, but nobody's taking it serious. It's not sexy to talk about helping poor people.
Yeah.
You know, we don't, you know, have an 80-foot boat out there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah. Are there places, you know, and understand some people's concerns. Are there places where there are good models of how they set up maybe good encampments or good areas where they set up tiny homes and it's organized and run really well that we can look at as a model?
I think there are, you know, in Oregon and in Austin, Texas. And we had a great thing. I'm going to say Reverend Dean Wolf at, you know, the Shoreline Church of Christ. He took some guts to do what he did. He let people, we got a shed from Home Depot, gave us a shed. And he had his own shed, and we have little places all built out. And I was building them out sometimes 3:30 in the morning. The tent would blow down, and I'd get the materials and put pallets. But they let a lot of people stay there. Now they've disbanded, so a lot of the stuff we constructed had to go away. But that was like the most daring, successful program in Muskegon. It was right here in Muskegon Heights.
Yeah, and
you know, it's pretty desolate over there, so you could not, you, nobody really.
Oh, over in the Glade Street area.
Yeah, that area.
I gotcha.
That was a great success. I mean, we, you know, I have a grill over there, so we cooked hot dogs yesterday, 100 hot dogs. And we did it the week before and the week before, and I made pancakes Monday because I knew they were going to get their stuff told. They were going to be told to leave, and they had to tear down. But, yeah, I got that takes a lot of guts. You know, there's a lot of other faith groups, you know. Back a year ago, Transformational Church, Brett Gerhardt was over there, and they were taking shuttles over to get people to survive. I'm going to tell you another thing. I hate to be negative towards the government, but we didn't have very adequate support from our city governments for, you know, we'd say the day of the storm that you can go to some place, but it's only till 5 o'clock, and you got to trudge 2 miles in the snow to get to it. Bad news, man. And I let them, I mean, whatever, you know.
You let them know. You know, sometimes somebody's got to say something. That's all. It's okay.
Well, there's a lot of people. We have some really intelligent people that help out, you know. I mean, and vocal people. And it's quite a successful story. It's not without frustration because you want to see people move on, and you don't see that enough. But the guy that's cooking my hot dogs is also cooking out at the deck now. So that's a success story. He makes good dog. Probably has good barbecue.
Dr. Mark, we want to thank you for all that you do. And
thank our group, Viking Purpose.
Viking Purpose.
Just, you know, one of the people. All right.
There we go. We're down at the bottom of the hour. It's time for us to take some commercial break. You are watching Community Focus on 103.7 The Beat and 106 and YouTube. We'll see you in a couple seconds. And welcome back to Community Focus. It's May 22nd, 2026. That was great with Dr. Mark and what they do, but we have somebody that's also a giver, and I'm really excited about our next guest.
All right. She's no stranger to our program. We usually talk about election stuff, but we're going to have a little more fun today.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about the Muskegon Farmers Market.
Well, you know, I love the market.
Yes, and welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate it.
We saw an article in the paper. We should say also Muskegon City Clerk.
Yes.
We also we saw the paper about the grant, or paper, I should, Facebook news.
Yeah, right.
For Muskegon
right.
Farmers Market.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about that grant and what's going to take place.
Sure. So we are so fortunate, thanks to Will Snyder. I think everybody here knows Will Snyder, and that, and our government, that we got a grant from the Michigan Department of Agriculture to help with food security, insecurity, I should say.
Yeah.
And with that, it's approximately 231,000 plus some change. That's going to go towards our Kitchen 242, which helps our businesses, our small businesses, the people that are making the jams, and our small vendors who are like, that's their stepping off point. Because I don't know if you know how expensive it is to create your own kitchen and all of that. So when you grandma's famous jelly and you want to try to sell it, this is the perfect place for like $18 an hour. I think it costs to rent that over there, which is a really good price. But we are really lacking in refrigeration and freezer space. So that's one thing that we're always asked for. And we have it, but we do not have enough. It's always full. So we're going to be able to expand that. And we're hoping to put some classroom space in there too, as well. So we're really, really excited about that. And then we have another $250,000 that's been dedicated towards the barn, because we are, we have some exciting plans.
Which is a lovely venue.
Yes. Yes.
We got to go back, ladies and gentlemen. And Mish.
I'm sorry.
You mean everybody doesn't know that? I mean, what?
So people that don't know, talking to about, well, the whole farmer's market, because we get folks outside Muskegon that catch our program. Kind of give them the overall picture view of Muskegon Farmer's Market.
So you know that we are the second biggest outdoor farmer's market in Michigan, right?
I did not know
that. Yes, we are. Yes. And we are 134 years old.
Wow.
So we've been around like a little bit of time. And the biggest, anybody know what the biggest market is?
No.
Detroit Eastern Market?
Eastern Market. Yes. And we're on Western Avenue. Don't you like that?
Oh.
I know, right? It kind of worked out.
Yeah.
So we have well over 100 vendors every Saturday in the summertime. Mm-hmm. We have 170 some stalls altogether, but some of the vendors have multiple stalls. Mm-hmm. You can find, of course, all the fresh fruits and vegetables and meats and the breads are everywhere too. Mm-hmm. And then we have some crafters in that, that are there, and it's just a beautiful time. We always have music. One of the things that we added this year that everybody's going to notice is we have a second stage on Morris Street. So we added that. That's going to be new this year. So we'll have music at both sides of the market that you're going to be able to enjoy.
Okay.
We have entertainment thanks to Kwame James, if anybody knows Kwame.
Yes.
He does a phenomenal job. He runs our music program for us, and he gets those people for us every Saturday over there. Mm-hmm. And it happens from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. We also have programs there. We have Kids Power Produce, where kids can sign up, and starting in June, they can get $4 to go shopping in the market for fresh produce. It's kind of teaching healthy habits. Mm-hmm. And we give them a little game to play too. And if they do well, then get it, they get a little prize. But we're really trying to encourage our youth to grow up in that area. We also have a kids program where kids can have a booth. And I don't know if people know that are little entrepreneurs. So if you are making bracelets or, like we have some that can draw, and, some that even did flowers and that, they can have a booth, and just for $5.
Wow.
The children have to do all the work themselves though. Oh. So this is important to us. I think they can be 8 years old.
Okay.
Mom and dad can be there, but they have to be behind. The kids have to be making the change. The kids have to be in the ones interacting with the customers. This is really important to us. If they're not ready for that, they're probably not ready for this program yet. So, and we, they are out on Morris Street, and it is the cutest, most adorable thing. I absolutely love it. I encourage everybody to go out there and see them, because they're going to be our future.
So don't get any ideas like have my 4-year-old granddaughter selling ribs. I can't do that.
Yeah. We know better. So you are correct. So we don't do that. And that, so you can see why we have to do that, because $5, you know, is pretty inexpensive, but we want to make it, and we want them to pay something, because we also want them to understand the realities of, you know, what is.
But that's important. I want to talk a little bit about that. How important is it, you know, instead of kids going into a store and picking up vegetables and doing shopping, but going to a farmer's market and picking up vegetables and fruits and stuff?
Well, now they have their own money. That's big. They're walking around with their $4 in tokens that they can go around, and they can, and I think they become more discerning. You know, I don't know about anybody else, but when it's my money, I'm going to, versus parents' money, I'm going to be a little bit choosier of what I'm going to get, you know? So it might be a slice of watermelon, or I might really love those blueberries. Hopefully some of them are picking out the carrots and the veggies, you know, I don't know. When I was a kid, those weren't my number one things, but, you know, but hopefully they are. And I think, you know, it's just a fun experience for them, you know, that and having to make those healthy choices, but it's their own money. They get to do this with their own money. Yeah. So we really, really enjoy it. And then of course, another popular program that we have starts in the middle of July. And that's our Senior Power of Produce. That happens on Tuesdays, if you haven't heard of that. So you just have to be 60 years of age or old.
60? Yes.
60 years of age or older. It happens every Tuesday until we run out of money, which usually lasts about 6 weeks. And you have to be a Muskegon County resident. That's all it takes. Okay. And we give you $6 in tokens to go spend. And you can save those up. They have to be spent by the end of the year. They do have an expiration on them, so you can save them up. So if you have a spouse too, then that means you're getting $12, right? Not bad. And you don't have to, like I said, spend it all at one time. And on Tuesdays, I can tell you now, it's like a miniature Saturday going on down there. We have a lot more vendors that come during that time because in the prime of it, we have about 2,000 seniors that are lined up for the $6.
Wow.
2,000. Wow. Yeah. Always looking for funding for it. We have about $60,000, but it's amazing how fast we go through $60,000 in a season and all that. So I'd love to have it more often, and we're asked that all the time. But we raise funds, and we work with the senior millage. That's where the money, the majority of the money is coming from, is the senior millage.
Now, you talked about the vendors. The vendors are really excited to be in the city.
They love it. They absolutely love it. They love all the programs because not only does it benefit our citizens, it also benefits the market and the vendors too, who, you know, it's any kind of programs that we can bring them, help them. And it's important to us that we stay active, we stay above. We want it to continue to be the best market on the West Side. I consider it to be the best market in the entire state. But at least we want to be on top on the West Side. So we look at all the programs, any kind of opportunities that we have to start something. Our Kitchen 242, starting, you know, having those vendors and watching them grow and then maybe move out. And, you know, we had the 490 Bakery who bakes their cookies there. And then we have some of our food trucks when they have really big events that is too big for their food truck. They will come and rent the kitchen and use that too to kind of like kick that out. You know, so there's so many possibilities of what people can do. And we'll sometimes have three or four vendors working in our kitchen at the same time. We are really careful about cross-contamination, but if you're just doing prep and you have to do it in a commercial kitchen, we can put you on one side while somebody else might be baking over there and somebody else is going to be, you know, cutting up vegetables or making salads or something like that.
You mentioned expanding the refrigeration space. Yes. Is it that are people able to rent space with the refrigeration space while they're there?
If we have it available, yes, which is a big part of it. If it's available, then yes, we will definitely rent it out. And then we have dry storage space too. So one of the nice things for our kitchen users is that they can rent a cage that can have their items in it. So you don't want to carry your flour and your sugar and all your baking goods like all the time, like bringing in and out. I mean, I don't want to do that. You can rent a cage and it's locked and you can keep your items there so that you can pull it up and nobody else can get into it. That's a pretty nice service to offer. And it's only like $20-$25 a month.
Now, how important is it, you know, to have a kitchen that the health department recognized as safe?
Yes.
And you can come in as long as you are abiding by those rules.
Right.
You can sell your product.
I will tell you that we have strict rules, and I will say that we get an A+ from the health department, but it's really important to us. And we have a kitchen manager, Renee Hesselink. If you've never met her, she's amazing, absolutely amazing. And we get inspected on a regular basis by the health department. And not only that, honestly, we have cameras up everywhere and we watch them, and I could pull it up right now.
Let people know that in advance.
And cameras are all around our market too. For people who don't know that, we have 30 some cameras out there, so we can see everything going on. We can see it live and we can go back to it. But it's important to us because it's like a grocery store that's outside, right? Sure. We got to make sure that we're like keeping everything healthy. And speaking of cameras, our newest, latest, and greatest, if you go to the Muskegon Farmers Market website, is that we now have a live cam.
Nice.
That just happened this week.
Okay. Awesome.
So now you can actually like pull it up and see how busy it is on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like it's just a really
run down there. And
yeah. I don't know if you've ever done that or like Key West. I like it on the Key West one. Yeah. Now we have our own. Muskegon has their own webcam that you can all watch it.
Yeah. But I think it's important that people understand the strictness of the health department and food, because you know in Chicago somebody's potato salad was 42 degrees. And everybody got sick.
Yep.
But those rules have to be tight.
There is a reason why they are what they are. And we very much respect the health department. So I can tell you that we have a food truck rally coming up in 2 weeks. And if anybody doesn't know, we have about 40 food trucks that are going to be there on a Wednesday from 5 p.m. to 8 p.m. And we have the Scottville Calm Band that's going to be there. And it's a great time. But we report all of that to the health department. We let them know. And I am make it very clear to my vendors, you are CC'd with the health department.
Sure.
The health department is very aware that you're going to be there. They're going to come out and do inspections and all that. And also the other one is our fire marshal. So
our
fire marshal, you've had food trucks.
I don't know.
Yeah. Fire marshal is pretty strict. I'm not going to lie. I don't know. I think he might be stricter than the health department, but you know, it's all about safety.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
It's absolutely about safety. So making sure that you have the right fire extinguisher, and it's a specific one. It's not one that you can pick up at Walmart.
Right.
It's like a $300 thing and about how close things can be and all that. But they take that very, very seriously. They see some tragedy over their time. Oh. So there's a reason, and you know that more than anybody. And so, we work really close with the fire department, and we've had to turn people away even at the event and tell them, I'm sorry.
Now, talk a little bit about, you know, I was privileged to be with the food truck.
Yes.
That it's community, you know, it's not competition. It's community. You know, the barbecue guys would come over and check out and expect, but it's a community thing, and it's a village thing, not a competition.
No, our food trucks are definitely not competition. What we do, I mean, we've had competitions, but this is not about competition. So we have a lot of barbecue, we have ice cream, we have tacos, we have the gamut of everything, to burgers to pizza, all of that. And I'm telling you that they are their own community. You use that word correctly. It's funny because I'll watch them start pulling in and somebody might have a difficult time parking and they'll hop out and somebody else will go park their truck for them. Or they'll be like, hey, we got to move this down. We're going to, or if I have issues, boy, they like come to me like right away. Like, what do you need? What do you need help? You know, let me help you with that. I am very, very fortunate that we are involved with a great group of people that want to see a successful event, and they help us with that as well.
You know what I really enjoy about the farmers market is, I always say there's no mall per se here. That is one of the places where you can go and be out and just see people.
Yes.
One of my complaints when I go there, honestly, is I don't get to all the vendor sites because I see so many people to talk to.
Like me, yeah. So, my husband will keep going and he leaves me behind because I'm like so busy talking to everybody. You never just can run in and run out. I don't know about anybody else.
Yeah. And so I'm a little naive. I talk to the vendors. Oh, hey, you know, where are you from? So, but that is one of the things I really enjoy. It's just a place to come out on Saturday. I buy some sweet usually somewhere. It's popcorn.
Of course, of course.
But I just get to see so many people out and just the environment.
Yes, is
so good.
I love the environment. Everybody's happy, right?
Yeah, yes,
everybody's
yes.
just walking around happy.
Yes.
Except for those dog owners, just to like put a plug in that dogs are not allowed at the farmer's market. We are in a food safety thing. Those are the only people that are not happy.
Yeah.
But everybody else is walking around. They're very happy. Yeah. It is a great community where we do get to see our friends, our family, people we haven't seen in a long time. You run into people that maybe you went to school with.
Sure.
And all of a sudden, I mean, and it's just like fun. And then we're supporting a good cause. We're supporting our farmers. And our small businesses, every single one of those booths is just a small business, very small business. And we are supporting them and we're keeping them alive. You know, I mean, like, so I encourage everybody to go there, but it is a fun time. And we try to like add some events and have fun with it. So, you know, and then we do have food trucks on Saturday too. So you can grab your lunch there. And then don't forget about Western Market. That is just down the street right there, too, where you can shop all the small chalets. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, this is a half-day event, right? Then you get done and you go down to the restaurants that are on Western, pick one of those really great restaurants that we have over there. And don't forget, we're in a social district. So anybody who likes to partake, you know, in maybe a beverage, can do that and walk around with it too. I don't know if everybody knows that, but it's pretty awesome.
That's a nice feature.
And you tell, when money is drying up, how important is for you to receive this grant?
Oh, the grant started some amazing things for us because, you know, honestly, the market pretty much like might break even, and not always does it break even. I mean, like everybody thinks it's like this big money. It's not, you know, I mean, like it costs us to have people there. We have full-time staff there. We have part-time staff there. And then the building is 11 years. Do you know that it's been there 11 years?
Not that much, but I was thinking sitting here, you know, I remember when it first, first moved.
I know.
The complaints.
Yes.
Oh, man.
And I was wondering, do you still get any, you know, I say, would it move from the Dust Bowl? I'm sure you don't get any complaints now about the move.
I was down to one vendor who still says the old one was better. One old farmer who's still saying the old one, the old spot was better.
Just trying to park on that hill was a challenge.
Oh my gosh. But no, our vendors by far like agree that this was a great move. But yeah, it was very controversial at the time, wasn't it? It was. Yeah. And now I think it's the highlight of the whole downtown myself. I think this is the hub right here, you know. And there's like bicycle groups like meet there in the parking lot, and I don't know how many times have you ever like, and we're like, hey, meet at the farmer's market, we'll take off from there. You know, we love seeing things like that. We want it to be the community hub. We want that to be the place, and we have some exciting plans for it, and we are going to be doing, you're going to hear more later, we're working on some capital outlay ideas, and we're going to be looking for some opportunities to raise more funds to go with the $500,000 to make some really awesome changes.
You started off saying, you know, I have to put my former city manager hat on. You started saying something which people need to understand is, you know, farmers markets aren't big money makers.
No, they're not money makers.
And honestly, I assume they're a community service.
Yes.
And you talk about how the grant helps, you know, and the seniors that come out, you know, it's a chance to get out, get some fresh air in a nice, safe environment.
Right.
It's also important, you know, for people to hear that.
Yes.
You know, that it's a community service.
Right.
That the city's providing this nice, safe space for people.
Right.
But, you know, it's a place for farmers who, you know, need some additional outlets nowadays to come
they
in.
Do.
And people, not just farmers, but even small businesses.
Right.
A venue for them that's not terribly expensive for people to come see them.
We have electric outlets at every single booth. And I mean, when you get done and you think about how many, just the power alone that we pay, and honestly, our commissioners have been so supportive of the market, which I appreciate so much. And, you know, I've been sharing with them some of my hopes and dreams of what I want to do in the future. And they're going to have to make more commitment to the market. And we'll see how that goes, but I have a feeling they're gonna like say yes. But you know, all of it takes people.
Sure.
And you know more than anybody, that's where most of the budget is with the people. Oh, yeah. To make it so, you know, sustaining and all that.
But now, I want you to put your bigger scheme hat on. Yes. Emma and I were driving downtown, and we were saying and thinking to ourselves, Muskegon really did a good job. When you think about the mall used to be there, but if you drive downtown Muskegon, it's a gem.
It is.
It looks really, really nice.
I love it. I love it. I am so proud of our downtown. So I was with the city. I was honestly with the city when we had a mall. Then I was with the city.
Yes, there was once a mall.
There was a mall.
There was a mall.
The farmer's market is currently at the Sears parking lot, I think. Yeah, right there in that area. And then I was with the city when we had nothing downtown, and it was just a dust bowl, you know. And to watch it grow has been amazing. It's been absolutely amazing. And watching the high rises that are happening right now, you know, there's one right across the street from City Hall that I'm looking at every single day out my window every day.
Yes.
That looks like it's getting closer and closer to being done anytime. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. I think 40 some apartments or something.
Wow.
Like that in that one. And now they've started the other one on 2nd Street, 2nd and Western, the second high rise going there. You know, I'm sorry, I can't remember the name of that one. Mm-hmm. But to see all of this growth, and then they just did a ribbon cutting ceremony on a boutique hotel. Did you see that this week?
Yeah.
That's going to be over by the hub.
Really?
Yeah. Yes. And then there's like six houses that are being built over there too right now, I believe, mm-hmm. six of them by mm-hmm. Frank Peterson, our old city mm-hmm. manager. Yes. He's in charge of that project okay. himself. Great. So that's happening over there by Parmenter Law. Do you know that area? Over
yes.
there?
Oh, yeah.
That's
yeah.
where that. So that, to watch all of this growth mm-hmm. happening is so exciting.
Exciting.
It's, yeah. It's just, you know, more and more yeah. coming. It's great. Yeah.
And, you know, and it's not a negative. Some people say, well, some of these things downtown, they take money or some venues, yep. but again, the farmer's market does take a lot of money to be a part, to come down and enjoy.
It really doesn't. I mean, like, I've been really blessed the last 2 years to be $5,000 to the black, which is just one repair bill to being in the negative. So I never make promises every year. I'm like, I don't know. And this year is, again, I don't know. I mean, like, because as the building gets older, there's more upkeep that needs with it. And so every year, just kind of, but I am, I feel really good about where we're at and to offer that to the community for very little cost. And our vendors are great too. So, you know, we do a lot of advertising and they wanted more advertising. There was a time when it came to me and said, hey, Ann, we'd like more advertising. And I was like, hey, I'm with you. I love that. My budget doesn't like support it, but I was like, can we go 50-50? And so they started just adding $1 every Saturday to their invoice every Saturday. And that goes to the pot that and then I'm like, I'll match you.
Okay.
And so that's the team effort that we have with our vendors that I really appreciate about them, because they really wanted that and they understood that I couldn't do it all. But yeah, it's been great.
Do you currently have any open slots?
Yes, we do. We do. Okay. Now we have a lot of rules and you have to apply and don't mm-hmm. just show up on Saturday because it's not going to happen. And every once in a while,
Saturday.
They do. People will come with a thing of cucumbers and say, I want to sell. And oh, we're gosh. Like, oh, it's really nice to meet you, you know, and we have all of this paperwork and so, you know, so, and even, you know, like the crafters. So I don't know if you know this, it has to be 80% made by you. Okay. Like, you can't,
buy and resell.
You can't. No, yeah, no. Yeah. We're very particular about what and we have important. Because it's, you got to, you know, keep the vibe, you know, sure, and so you got to sure. be careful. But we do have a flea market on Wednesdays, which yes. is actually very awesome. And we send a lot of people to that. And we love our flea market. And it's been growing and growing too. And we want to see that get bigger. In fact, we even allow booths on Thursday too with the farmers market. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of have a mixture on Thursday, but we encourage that. But you do. And then what we started the last couple of years is that we have a committee that votes to decide if your products are in the market or not.
Okay.
You know, we got to be kind of careful. And then we also have to be careful that we don't have too much of, you know, one thing. I don't know if you know that right now, sourdough is very popular. Very popular.
Really?
Sourdough. And all of a sudden, we had so many of them apply. Like, you can't have a dozen sourdough.
No,
does everybody? And so some people don't understand that yeah. we have to have a good variety. Sure. So sometimes people get put on a wait list and it's like, you didn't do anything wrong, but we only can have so many. And so that's how that works.
So folks interested in getting a vendor slot, volunteering, maybe making donations, what should they do?
Should go to the MuskegonFarmersMarket.com okay. and we can definitely help you. Also, the office is open Tuesday through Thursday and then also on Saturday. Although Saturday is not the best day to go ask them questions. I would say Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, you can definitely go down there. They're open from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. They can answer any and all your questions. You do need insurance. There's a lot of fun paperwork and you know, you need a state sales tax license and all those kind of fun things, but they can walk you through the process and just look at the market itself. You can see all those other people made it through the process. We can help you get there too.
And last question, do you ever take a break?
I don't want to. No, if I slow down, I don't want to. I enjoy what I do. I really enjoy it. I love the market. I love what I do in the office. I have no reason to slow down.
With that said, Ann Meech, many hats worn by this woman here and a dear friend of this radio station. We appreciate you coming on today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right. Melvin.
Well, maybe it's just me, but this is the official start of summer for me. So, you know, I used to run track, you know, and you get in the blocks and it's, you know, ready, set, go. Mm-hmm. So summer officially starts for me this weekend. We got all kind of stuff going on in Muskegon. Go down to the farmer's market, get out and enjoy the shoreline, maybe have a decent weather weekend. But folks, go out and enjoy life. You know, we were talking earlier, man, the news, the Facebook, the social media, it's a lot. But get outside, get some fresh air, get those elbow and knee joints moving. Just enjoy everything else. You know, people are sometimes disconnect from social media, but get out and experience some of the beautiful things we have to offer in our community or in your community, wherever you are. Those are my final comments. And as my brother always says over there, find a way to be a blessing.
All right. And speaking of, next week, we're going to take a week off.
Yes, we are.
And we'll be back the following week with more news, information, and more. I am so proud of this program because we're going on 5 years as of August. It started with a dream, and we've continued it to go. With that said, you have been listening and watching Community Focus. Thank you, Ann Meech. We will see you in 2 weeks.